Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4 tonight. Last Wednesday night, we were in Matthew 4. And we're going to be back in Matthew 4 again this Wednesday night. Same two verses, verse number 21 and verse number 22. And last Wednesday night, we talked about James, the son of Zebedee. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21 of Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. We talked about last week James, the son of Zebedee, and we see that in verse number 21, James and John. And last week we looked at some things concerning the call of James, and much of that is found in verse number 21, how that James, he left his fishing trade and followed Jesus. And we see that how that Jesus came to him, and Jesus comes to us where we're at for salvation. And then Jesus calls us to service. And we mentioned those things about James and some other things. We mentioned also that James and John had a nickname from the Lord. And basically the name that the Lord gave them was Boanerges, or Boanerges, the sons of thunder. And this has to do with their fiery temperament they had. And some believe that whenever they preached, they were a loud, boisterous type. You know, I got to thinking today that, you know, we all have our own personalities. We all have our own character traits about us. And I think that there's much that God uses of our character traits after salvation. What I mean by that is, back before I got saved, I was tenderhearted. I just was. I'm still tenderhearted, and I believe that the Lord uses that. Things that, not everything, you know, I was also short-tempered before I got saved, and God's still working on that aspect of me. So he doesn't use those things for the ministry. But there are some character traits, and I don't know if James and John, if this was part of their character trait and they were just a loud, boisterous type style preacher, or if it was just a character trait, you know, if it was just that they had a fiery temperament, you know, lashed out at times, maybe attitude and things along those lines. But we read about that last week, and we looked into that name, Boanerges. And we also looked at the testimony of James and how that James was used by God. We know that God used the ups and downs of James, and God used his bad times, his good times. You remember when we mentioned the verse when James and John wanted to call fire down from heaven to actually consume the town that looked at Jesus kind of crossways. You know, Jesus says, no, I'm going on to Jerusalem. Well, the Samaritans didn't like that. And so James and John, they wanted fire to come down and consume the city. And so through following Jesus and through watching how Jesus responded through patience and love and kindness, that eventually worked in the life of James. And James became one of those that was more gracious. And God had a way of rounding off James's sharp edges, you see. Same thing for us all through life, from the beginning of following him to the time we got saved till now, and to the time we get to glory. The Lord is in the mold shaping business. He is molding us and he's shaping us. All of those rough edges, he's shaving down. And much of the time, it comes through bad experiences. It comes through suffering. It comes through pain. Very, very little of God's molding happens when we're obedient. because much of the time, failure is the best teacher. But I want to learn through obedience, don't you? I don't want to learn through failure. So tonight I want to look at John, the son of Zebedee. We looked at James last week, but now I want to look at John, his brother. And I want to pull out some different things that we looked at with James, because John has his own life. And there were some things in the life of John that he did that James didn't do. And so tonight, John, the son of Zebedee. Number one, I want us to look at the details of John. And some of these things are going to be classroom style tonight. I'm just going to give you some truths, but we are going to follow along with some verses. But the details of John. Notice his name in verse number 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. The name John. The name John means the Lord is gracious, or it means that the grace of our Lord. So the Lord is gracious, or the grace of our Lord. That's the name John. And in the New Testament, John was a common name, you will find. A lot of people naming their children, their boy child, man child, John. Turn, if you would, to the right to Luke chapter number 1. I want to give you an example of the name John and its definition. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 60. That's a big chapter, long chapter. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 60. We have Elizabeth given birth to John the Baptist. The Bible says, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And the name John means the Lord is gracious. Now, at this particular part in these verses here, we see that basically Elizabeth had John. Verse number 57, now Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Now, in verse number 58, the neighbors came and friends came. Oh, you've got to name him Zacharias Jr., you know, carry the father's name, Zechariah. Verse number 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. In verse 60, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. It's kind of funny when you just read that on the surface. You ain't naming him after his daddy. Because we know what happened. You know, he went to serve in the temple, and Zacharias the priest, and to serve in that office, and he didn't believe the Lord that they're going to have a child, and he was muted. He couldn't speak. No, don't name him after his daddy. But if you go back and read, what you find out is back in chapter number, well, we're in chapter number 1, but verse number 13, that is the name that the angel had for the baby. Verse number 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now we know this is John the Baptist, and we're talking about John, the son of Zebedee, but we're using this as an example for the name John and how it means the Lord is gracious. And so the angel said unto Zacharias, Zacharias, your prayer is answered. Elizabeth is going to conceive, and his name shall be John, meaning the Lord is gracious. Now I want you to think about this. For so long, Elizabeth wanted a child, couldn't have a child. In verse 7, the Bible says she was well stricken in years, advanced and aged is what the Bible says here. Verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And so years had passed by, and really in those days, it would be a shame to a woman to have no child by her age. So Most of the times, maybe she would be a retreat mode in the house, not in the community. Maybe when she would go out, she would cover herself in embarrassment and shame, and everybody, I don't know, I'm speculating here, but maybe the community or some would point fingers and say, there goes the barren one. There goes the one who can't have a child. Well, they got a word from God, and the word from God was, is that you're going to have a child, and his name shall be called John. The Lord is gracious. And don't you know, by the time that John came, Elizabeth, praise the Lord. In fact, Mary and Elizabeth had a meeting at her house. Mary came over, verse number 39, all the way through the remainder of the chapter, really. And there was celebration, there was excitement. In fact, when I believe it was Mary who came to Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth greeted her at the door, and the babe leaped in her womb, Elizabeth's womb, the babe leaped. So there was excitement there. Verse 41, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of these things she was speaking and saying and rejoicing in the Lord. And to make a long story short, that name John is connected to how the Lord has been gracious. The Lord was gracious in the life of Elizabeth. And we know by the end of the story that Zacharias was able to speak again. And so what a blessing that was. And back to the book of Mark, or Matthew chapter 4. That's just our starting place. Matthew 4, verse number 21 and 22. Again, we see John, the son of Zebedee, brother of James. And we see that his name is John, which the Lord is gracious. The grace of our Lord is what his name means. Common name in the New Testament. We just seen the example of Elizabeth named her baby John the Baptist, or John. But then John, it's believed that John was the youngest of all the apostles. Now, again, this is going to, I want to insert some classroom style, just, you know, knowledge, just truth on paper, and we'll go to some verses. But it's believed that John was the youngest of all the apostles. Also, John and James, most likely, notice this, was from a prosperous family. We're in the book of Matthew. Turn to Mark chapter number 1. Or just listen along. Mark chapter number 1, verse 19 and 20. Most likely these two brothers was from a prosperous family, or at least they had money at times, or means. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 19. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship, notice this, with the hired servants, and went after him. Something you don't hear a lot about James and John, is that the potential of having means in their family. Maybe they were a prosperous family. They had hired servants, at least for the day they had hired servants. And so we see that there about John and his family. They had hired servants at one time. We said in Mark, turn to Mark chapter number 3, verse 17. This is a good way to get familiar with all these verses and characteristics. Mark 3:17, we see that John had the nickname of Boanerges. Mark 3, verse number 17. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, or Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Again, these are details of John. His name, he was the youngest of the apostles. Most likely from a prosperous family, or they had means at one time to have hired servants. Had the surname or nickname, Boanerges, sons of thunder. And so we see that the details of John was that he possessed these things. He embodied these things. But not only that, we see that John was part of the inner circle like James, his brother. Peter, James, and John. Now, if you go back to Matthew, Matthew chapter number 4, I got to thinking about Peter, James, and John, and there's indications here and there that they fished together, they cast nets together, but I thought it was something that they're the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, after salvation, because they were together before salvation. At least that's the way it appears in Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. So it appears that, I don't know if it was the same day or if it was in close proximity in time that they trusted the Lord, but there's other indications that they probably fished together or at least knew each other. And then they met the Lord, and then they went fishing for men. And I think about sometimes those who I used to know before salvation, and I think about them now after salvation. And I don't know if I can name one person that I used to hang out with that's born again. I'm not sure. I mean, I really have to think. That I used to run with and, you know, do all that crazy stuff with and that actually got saved and now worship with or know that worships the Lord. I don't know if I know one. I've tried to reach one or two or three. Even in recent days, I've been able to get in touch with one, ran into one at the gas station. And we were able to help. He now has a son, and of course he's not together with the baby's mother, and a lot of things going on, and his own grandmother passed away. So we were able to help them a little bit and their son for Christmas, and you know, I witnessed to him just a little bit, not too heavy, because he was expecting me to. And so I barely mentioned anything. And he's called me a couple of times since Christmas, and unfortunately, I got to be careful what I say because he just may be listening online. He knows the site and all, but you just wish you just wish that they crossed that threshold of, you know, it's time. You know, no more excuses. I mean, he's in the same situation he was in back before I got saved. You know, trying to make it from day to day, and I keep telling him, I say, listen. Come to church, you know, come and hear the word. Come to church, and you just tell me what you think. You can sit in the back, doesn't matter. But still, no crossover, still no salvation. So I don't know. I don't know if Peter and James and John, if they were all buddies beforehand, but we know that they were afterhand. Not really sure what happened to Andrew, but we do know in the other Gospels that Andrew findeth Peter, led him to the Lord. So if we read all these things in harmony, we'll find that it's interesting what happens. And so there's the inner circle. Details of John. Bonandrous nickname. Prosperous family, perhaps. Youngest of all apostles. And John means the Lord is gracious. So that's the details of John. But then I want to look at the early years of John. The early years of John. Just want to say a couple things because we've most already covered these things, but I want to spend a little time in the later years of John. But the early years of John, we see that there were selfish ambitions. We're in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 20, verse number 20. Matthew 20, 20. Matthew 20, 20. The Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these may, my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he goes on down through there, and he corrects them. But we see that there is a thread of selfish ambition here. I mean, who wouldn't want to sit at the right hand of the Lord and all those things? But through their characteristics in their early years, as Jesus found them being fishermen, we see that there is some pride there. There is some selfish ambition. And in Luke chapter number 9, for the sake of time, don't turn there, but in Luke 9, verse number 51 through 56, that's when they desired to call the fire down from heaven and consume the town. This shows that John lacked love and patience. And so the early years of John was a struggle. When he left all and he left his father and he started to follow Jesus, it was lack of love and patience, self-ambitions, it was struggle. But then after he followed Jesus a while, we see that John's attitude and characteristics began to change after he followed the Lord for a while. In John chapter number 13, turn there for a moment. John 13. It's becoming Bible drill every service. I like it. John 13, verse number 23. I want you to notice John is progressing in age, at least in, well, in age, but also his walk with the Lord. And we have the Last Supper here, and we see that John, in chapter number 13, verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And we know who this disciple was. This was John. And John was leaning on Christ's chest. He was leaning on his bosom. I got to think about this. John perhaps could have heard the heartbeat of Jesus. Think about that. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Jesus Christ's heartbeat. Boom, boom. And what we see here is we see that John is getting closer to the Lord, and no doubt he's leaning on his bosom there. But this is the Last Supper, so they've had some time together. And that selfish ambition and lack of love and patience has, the Lord has been working on him and James and all the other apostles. And now John is leaning on the bosom of Christ. He can hear his heartbeat perhaps, and John is maturing. The Lord is getting closer to the cross. And when you follow the life of John, you'll find that in his later years, he is wanting to be right there with the Lord, at least before the Lord went to the cross. He's leaning on his bosom here. Now, also, if you notice in this verse, the Bible says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That phrase, whom Jesus loved, John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Many times you'll find that in the book of John. In fact, John became a man of humility through his walk with the Lord. And you will not find John calling himself John in the book of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You will in Revelation. I, John. But in the book of John, the Gospel of John, we see that he is being humbled. There is humility here. He doesn't refer or call attention to his own name. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We conclude this because John, his humility, we conclude this, that he was a humble man because John never mentions his own name in his gospel. He just refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Think about this for a second. It's John saying the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe John was so much in love with Jesus that he said that. This is John, the one that Jesus died for. This is John, or this is that disciple, the one that Jesus loved. This is that John that had selfish ambition in the beginning. This is that disciple who lacked love, who lacked patience, but this is that disciple whom Jesus loved. He hung in there with me. He loved me to the end. And I believe that John, through his walk with the Lord, became a very humble man. And, you know, that's part of the goal in walking with the Lord, is that we become more and more of a humble person and of a meek countenance and patience and love and become. If you follow Jesus, you're bound to become like Jesus. You know, that's the idea. John became a man of humility. Never mentions his name here in the Gospel of John. He refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John was so enthralled with the fact that Jesus loved him and put up with him and continued with him that he refers to the disciple whom Jesus loved. In John 21:24, he refers to himself the disciple which testifieth these things. Again, he is talking in another person here, a separate person. You can jot that down and look at it later. John 21:24. John doesn't mention his name in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He is the writer of those epistles. And it's easy sometimes to get confused, the epistles of John and the Gospel of John. I remember when I first got saved in Sunday school at Floyd Road, Rick Cordes was my Sunday school teacher. And he told everybody, all right, open up your Bibles to John 13 or John 2 or something like that. And I had no idea what he was talking about because here's the book of John and here's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. But John was a writer of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He was a writer of the Gospel of John. And the only reference he gives to himself in 1, 2, 3 John is, he says, the elder. The elder. And all of these things is developing in his later years. A man of humility. So in the Gospel of John, it's that disciple whom Jesus loves. In the epistles of John, it's the elder. But in the Gospel of John, turn to chapter number 19 for a moment. John 19, verse number 25 and 26, we see that John was the only apostle around the cross. And this speaks of John being a man of courage and faithfulness. John 19, verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And so we see here that John was the only apostle there at the cross when Jesus died. This speaks of courage. John, in his later years, he wasn't asking for fire to come down and consume them Roman soldiers and to, you know, torch everybody and burn down the town, but he was there. He was listening in that hour of great passion and great hurt at the same time, seeing his Savior die on the cross. And he knew it was his time. He knew that was the plan, but he remained silent and he waited with courage and faithfulness. And he was the only apostle there at the cross. Many times in life when life is tough and life is painful, we're all called to remain at the cross, to stay there with Jesus. It's so hard to do when the call for courage comes out and something happens in life or there's a new trial we haven't experienced yet. There's some kind of curve in the road or, you know, we're going around a sharp curve or there's a crooked path or something along those lines. The same as John was courageous and faithful, he stayed at the cross, he didn't lash out and call fire down from heaven, is the same for you and I. We can glean from this apostle to just hang in there and be of good courage and remain faithful. And also in these verses, verse 26 and 27, we see John was responsible and obedient. Jesus was committing his mother to him. Look at verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He was responsible, and he was obedient. Jesus chose John to care for his mother because his time was almost, Jesus was almost at the "it is finished" time. Let me mention a couple more things and we'll be through tonight. We see that John was a man of courage and faithfulness, responsible, obedient. Talking about his later years, just didn't come in early years. It took some time. A few more things. John became known as the Apostle of Love. In his five books, John, Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in the book of Revelation, one of the themes is love. John had great faith, which is another theme of these books, especially the Gospel of John is the theme of faith, because John shows his great faith in that book, and he wants others to embrace the faith in Christ. John chapter number 20, in verse number 31, he says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so John had great faith, and he wanted others to embrace the faith that's found in Jesus. And so John put his faith in Christ and wanted others to do so as well. John was greatly blessed. He served the longest as an apostle. He lived in his 90s as an apostle. He had more spiritual insight than all the apostles, for he received the book of Revelation. John was a man of prayer in Acts 3:1. We see that as John and Peter go to the temple, the hour of prayer. And we know that there was a lame man there. And this lame man was healed. And John and Peter went to prison for that. And then lastly, I'll say this and we'll close. John experienced a lot of glory and a lot of blessings, but this only came through suffering. John was arrested at 90 years old and banished to the Isle of Patmos. Some of these things, some of y'all have studied characters and all in the Bible, the Book of Martyrs. You got to glean some of these other resources. I'm not saying it's infallible. I'm just saying that it does hold history from Bible days. But John was arrested, we know this from the Bible, John was arrested in his 90s, 90 years old or older, and banished to the Isle of Patmos, where he received the revelation of Jesus and penned it down. And then he was removed. He lived through that. John did. He was removed from Patmos by the successor of Domitian. And that name, the successor, was Nerva. Nerva. Sounds like somebody get on your nerves. So John lived through the Isle of Patmos, and then he was released. And some sources say that John was thrown into a boiling pot of oil. But he didn't die. He escaped. And John ended up in Ephesus, where eventually he died and went home to be with the Lord. What a life. Could you imagine being thrown in a pot of, I couldn't imagine thrown in a pot of anything, but a pot of boiling oil, and God seemed fit for John to live through that. Now, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he escaped that, John did. But he died there in Ephesus. And so that was the latter years of John. His early years, selfish ambition, lack love and patience. We can see all of our lives. I mean, you know, we embrace salvation when the Lord calls us. We come to Him, and then we begin our learning, don't we? And we learn, and we learn, and we learn. And when we think that we've learned enough to teach a little bit, God has us learning some more so we can teach a little bit more. And so that's the Christian life. That's John, the son of Zebedee. Talked about James last week. So we got the brothers covered. We'll go in another direction next Wednesday, and we'll just may look into another character. Father, we come in Jesus' name with a thankful heart. We're thankful for tonight, Lord, and the truths that were imparted to your people, Lord. I know some of the things that were said wasn't actually from your word about the John and the boiling of the oil, as far as I can understand it. But, Lord, the whole message centered around your word, and it was about your word and about what you can do with someone. And, Lord, how you maintain your people. You call us and then for salvation, then you call us for service, and we set out to serve you, Lord. And through our experience with you, Lord, going after you, you change us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And the whole idea, Lord, is at the very end we may look like you. And whatever is lacking, we know that when you appear, we will be just like you. We don't know, and our mind cannot comprehend what heaven's going to be like. But Lord, we know that you're going to be there. And all of those that have trusted in Jesus is going to be there. John's going to be there. James is going to be there. All the apostles and the people in the Bible are going to be there. Lord, all the loved ones that we have sent home to heaven is going to be there. Lord, my mother is going to be there. And Father, many loved ones in this room tonight who have sent loved ones home to heaven, they're going to be reunited with those loved ones. Son of Miss Glenda, 15 years, was just mentioned. One day, she's going to see him again. And so, Father, because we're able and we're going to see loved ones we sent on to heaven, help us, Lord, reach one to send them on to heaven as well while we're still here. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.